Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Human Rights Demand. Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. We believe that here at Human Rights Demand channel on Blog Talk Radio. And so we're here today to make a demand for the human rights of Native Americans and all others. We are not exclusive. We include everyone, human beings. But this show is Native American Affairs. And it particularly deals with the issues, the culture, the history of Native Americans, indigenous people in the United States, in Turtle Island. We have with us our host today, Mr. Shanupa Mani. Mr. Shanupa Mani, please get out your pencils and paper because we're going to give you important information today about his own radio show, which he will start, I believe, tonight. I believe he'll start broadcasting tonight from his own radio channel. And we will have a new host here at Native American Affairs next Wednesday for you. Shanupa Mani, I appreciate the months that you have been with us here at Human Rights Demand. You've developed your audience. You need more time on the air in order to address the many issues that you cover and to collaborate with your many parties. And I appreciate being a part of facilitating that for you and for indigenous people. We thank you so much, Mr. Mani, and I'll turn your show over to you now.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, thank you again, sir. And I called you and gave you the call-in number for your presentation. Now, let me ask you something. Are you going to start broadcasting tonight?
Say that again?
Are you going to start broadcasting from Strongheart Warrior Society tonight?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right. Well, I believe that'll be 9 p.m. Mountain Time. 9 p.m. Mountain Time, Mr. Shanupa Mani will begin broadcasting from his own radio show tonight. We're going to give you the phone number, ladies and gentlemen, so you can call in at 9 p.m. Mountain Time and listen to Mr. Shanupa Manny's first radio show from his own station, the Strongheart Warrior Society. Also, you can email Mr. Mani at StrongheartWarriorSociety at gmail.com. That's StrongheartWarriorSociety at gmail.com. That is his new email address. Also, that's the name of his channel here at Blog Talk Radio. It's called the Strongheart Warrior Society. We're on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to let you know right now what the telephone number is for you to call in and listen to Mr. Manny as he delivers his first radio address from Strongheart Warrior Society. And we are so glad to have you tune in today at Human Rights Demand. And we are so happy to be able to celebrate with Mr. Manny's own station. And this is a wonderful day. Mr. Mani, why don't you go ahead and I'll get that number for your audience.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio with the Strongheart Warrior Society and the host, Shanupa Gluham Honey. Now, over the years, you know, many, you know, circumstances have been for the Native communities as far as the African communities and many other, you know, ethnic people of color. And so today we start we started to really elaborate on some important issues that pertain to the independence and the direction we are going as a free and independent people. And so today, as
Mr.
we continue onward...
Mr. Manning, could I interrupt you and give you and your audience the call-in number for you tonight?
Go right ahead, Mary.
Okay, the call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 347-989-8461. That's for you to call in to the Strong Heart Warrior Society tonight at 9 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, the telephone number is 347-989-8461. And the name of the show is Strong Heart Warrior Society. The email address is strongheartwarriorsociety@gmail.com. So now you have all the information that you need to stay in touch with Sister Manny and also to tune in to his shows, which are scheduled for every night at 9 p.m. Pacific time. Once he gets down to a schedule, he may not actually be broadcasting every night, but he will let you know that as he is. So thank you again, and please tune in to Mr. Shanupa Manny tonight at 9 p.m. Mountain Time, and use this telephone number to call in, 347-989-8461. Thank you, Mr. Manning.
Thank you, Mary. So where I left off at, listening audience, you know, we've been
I want you to know, Mr. Manning, that you have two callers on the line. If they will keep their background noise to a minimum, I'll go ahead and let them in the queue you can invite them to speak, but they must keep their background noise down so that, you know, everybody can hear clearly. So I ask you to move away from small children, or if you're driving or what have you, pull over, so that your background noise won't interfere with the program. But I let you in queue 2900 and 3848. So that you can speak when Mr. Manny asks if there are any questions or comments. Thank you.
Well, once again, where we left off, I got a couple of callers calling in. So when you do, get clearance to come on in, let's get to the points of what we're talking about here. But first of all, where I left off at, the independence of what the tribal nations are, struggling to, uphold is the identity crisis that we have in Indian country. And establishing our own, independence is the key to the destiny's future where we're all going into the 22nd century. So a majority of our people have lost that capability to understand that mechanism in life. Once again, a mechanism in life. So overall, for a majority of the people that are tuning in, keep in mind that the Strong Heart Warrior Society and many other warrior societies of other nations have addressed a lot of certain issues pertaining to the current situation that are being befallen upon us at the hands of the American system. Now, over the years, we've tried so many attempts to try to get the people in Congress, the federal government, to pay attention to these issues, and in fact, start, releasing a lot of the native people that are racially being, incarcerated at the discretion of this American system. And so, needless to say, a majority of our people have lost that capability to find that fairness and balance to restore that type of matriarchal, pronunciation where our women give their warriors the capability to do what they're told. Now, today, in a modern, construct, our men are limited to that understanding because of the epidemics of alcohol and drugs and domestic abuse and, all these unhealthy predicaments in life that America has imposed upon us as a free nation, as a free and independent people. And so this is one of the biggest issues that arises in Indian country, where our people do not know how to function for themselves. Instead, we're giving more of that adherence to the American system. And our people are creating, you know, institutions within the reservation's jurisdiction to incarcerate our own people within our own treaty territories. This is inhuman, ladies and gentlemen. And the fact of the matter is the American system does not allow you to have peace of mind. That does not allow you to have the type of characteristic of identifying yourself as a free and independent person. And the idea of the identity crisis is here. It's rapidly on the verge of, you know, producing a negative pronunciation in denying you access to any type of independence, of liberty, of freedom to, you know, have a better understanding of how you're going to survive in this country and, you know, be, let alone, you know, not targeted to pay taxes on certain issues. And remember, according to the United States Constitution that was adapted by the Iroquois Confederacy, First Nations people are not obligated to pay taxes. First and foremost, let's really keep that in mind, because a majority of our people are trying to undermine that purpose. And so, you know, the white man has not ever paid his bill since he arrived here in 1492. When our brothers out in the Eastern Shore Waters had invited them into their territories, the system has deprived them of their own existence. And so when the colonists first arrived in our country, you will see that they created so much chaotic despair that a majority of my native people that once inhabited the eastern shorelines out in the East Coast are no more. And their blood is completely annihilated. And now you hear a lot of the eastern brothers and sisters that are coming out. They're talking about how their enrollment and their identity is not being recognized at the hands of the American system. Blood quantum is one of the biggest issues. Now, first of all, blood quantum is the type of illustration the American people has done to people of color by recognizing themselves as less than human. They're comparing us to thoroughbred horses and the animals. See, they're the only ones that have a registry to determine, you know, whether they're a pure breed or a non-pure breed. And this is what's happening in this country of ours. Yet alone, we're allowing many other nations to come into my country, and they get all the basic necessities, privileges, opportunities, the commonwealth of reality, and many other stuff that go on. And here we are, you know, taking these issues at hand to determine our credibility, to put the purpose before everyone else. And so, again, folks, I constantly try to remind everybody that I'm not speaking about any of these in a defamatory, you know, point of view to be disrespectful. No, I am not. I want people to understand that the American system, the biggest melting pot on the face of this earth, is destroying you within, culturally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you cannot regain that consciousness at their discretion. They constantly try to implement imperial warfare, imperialism, to justify the capabilities of what is supposed to be beneficial for your well-being as people of color. And so when I talk about this over and over, I'm constantly trying to give you, the American people, and all the listening audience a chance to recognize that we indigenous people have the right to our own happiness, freedom, our liberty, all these things that are construed to us at the international level. And it takes a series of catalysts to move our people in existence out of dormancy. And this is what we constantly try to share with everyone. You know, the late Russell Means had an issue with the pronunciation of how people practiced and perfected the American system and idolized that type of behavior to recognize it as themselves. And so when he was contesting these issues on a broader, you know, Richter scale, Mr. Means, the late Mr. Means, God rest his soul, had always tried to give people that benefit of a doubt. Unfortunately, a majority of them could not grasp at that. In reminding the listening audience to what this pronunciation means, on here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, we have a newly elected tribal president that took office 2 years ago. And so within that time frame, this tribal president that newly got elected at the discretion of our people, he violated so many oaths of his office that he was on the verge of being impeached by his own cabinet workers, his own council. And lo and behold, they found him, you know, you can't use the word innocent because that wasn't a structured form, because a majority of the council representatives and the council members that seated in that, you know, criteria of administering, you know, changes and procedures and implementing policies, they didn't want to suspend him because they said that he had a benefit of a doubt to represent himself. When all these illegalities that were being presented before the council were so, you know, directed to his involvement of how the evidence showed that he was guilty as charged, they didn't want to follow through with it. You see, that's not a healthy government, listening audience. That's not. And this is an educated man, a man that knows nothing about tradition, dances when he can. This is a man that created the Lakota Nations Invitational Basketball Tournament in the city of Rapid City. And so every year they have this basketball tournament going on in that big town where that town is racially prejudiced towards First Nations people. And when that basketball tournament commences every year, the prices of, you know, the motel rates and the prices of gas and food that people need to utilize for their own well-being to watch our own basketball players compete, they're all jacked up to a higher margin where it's non-affordable. Only the people that work within the tribal, the government's activities can, you know, attend that special, you know, basketball tournament. It's been in operation for the past 36 years. That's just as long as Leonard Peltier has been incarcerated all these years in an unhealthy predicament of a crime against humanity where he has never, ever been found guilty of the truthful evidence that were, you know, forced upon him upon his conviction. He was convicted with two, you know, consecutive life sentences for a crime he didn't commit. And many of the other people that were accused of that got off. And so here's our brother Leonard Peltier still facing this type of destruction at the hand of the American system. It's an insult to them. And Indian people in the country of Turtle Island have faced that type of racial disparity since we took the flag away from them on the field of battle in the greasy grass, better known to white historians as the Battle of Little Bighorn. The Cheyenne, the Arapaho, and the Lakota take ownership to the American flag for our defeat of this nation that illegally occupied our territorial boundaries. A lot of their military operations used indigenous tactics to implement these type of, you know, trainings for their military personnel. And so this is what we try to tell the rest of the world, that if you look at your television, you look at what's happening in different countries, they're rebelling because of this Holy Roman Catholic's version of religion. That version of religion is destroying people within. And look at it. And again, America wants to step in and try to think they can improvise on something and prevent a lot of these, you know, destructions from interfering with their well-being as people struggling to get out of dormancy. Well, America has never, ever cleaned up its backyard with the indigenous reservations, the indigenous, you know, communities, and the population of many other people poor that are still poverty-stricken. They have not cleaned them up, and yet they want to give foreign aid to other nations. What about here? What about the poor people in this country? What about all the poor people that are living out of dumpsters just to survive to find something unhealthy to eat? Think about it, America. You're at fault, and you're constantly denying people of their right to their own pursuit of happiness through their own belief in freedom. We have the right to assert these independence. And yet alone, to this day, as we're talking, a majority of our people don't want it because they have been assimilated with this type of pronunciation in the system. They praise, they honor the system, when in fact they never can honor a free people. Ladies and gentlemen, my heart is always angered at that type of pronunciation because it frustrates me that I have to continuously speak on these murderers, that these measures would be accurately in tone. Because these mercies are not the same as a mirage that you can see to determine if you want to drink some water on a highway. That mirage is a replica of falsified water that doesn't exist. Well, that's the type of pronunciation America does to people of color. Right or wrong, that's right. And so, again, the Strongheart Warrior Society's leader, Chanupa Gluhamani, comes at you very importantly and honestly because I am sick and tired of this colonial, you know, depression being, you know, waged upon us to try to get a place in the Council of Nations and in the international community where we can honestly be, you know, represented in a truthful capacity with our own identity. And ladies and gentlemen, I say that with an open heart, and I say that to everybody out of a context where I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to give everybody that opportunity and that benefit of a doubt to really look at what's going on in this country. Right now in the state of South Dakota, you've got one of the world's largest bike rallies coming in. You know, you got bikers from all over. I had an incident with these bikers called the Sons of Italy. And, you know, it was a terrible misunderstanding for this biker where he was in the wrong. And I asked him in a nice way out of anger to pull over and we can fix this as men if he wanted to throw hands. I mean, this is what happens out here. But then again, let's say you make a illegal turn or you make an illegal, you know, right or left turn. And all of a sudden, law enforcement pulls you over. Oh, yeah, but these bikers can come into my country and have patches on the back of their vest and says, Sons of Italy, and flip a native brother off for no reason. And I wanted to bring this out to the listening audience because this is what we face every day in our treaty territory at the discretion of this American system. Now, they talk about, you know, they're freedom fighters. That's why they riot. There's no helmet laws and whatnot. This state alone, through since this biker rally has been commenced, has so much fatal accidents at their discretion. It's no different than we truckers having the same thing, where when we drive our big 18-wheelers and stuff, we get targeted over that. It's always a trucker's fault. Well, I beg to differ. If people pay attention to what they're doing out there, then they can understand the road is a perfect place if you can treat it perfect. And many of our people don't do that. I don't care what color, ethnicity of your identity is, we do not pay attention to the reality of it. And that's why the independence is so important. The independence can prove that opportunity to a safer environment where people can start utilizing themselves as free and independent people. And that's how to make a long story short. So if the listening audience still have people that are calling in, Mary, if you're still there, can you tell the people to go ahead, come on here. I want to hear some of their input. And keep in mind, you know, this is Child Awareness Month for a lot of the indigenous people. Every month is Child Awareness Month. Every month is Elder a Month. Every month and every day is a people's day. That's where freedom lies. And I want everybody to start greeting each other with a firm handshake. Wave at people. Even though you don't like them and they don't like you, wave at them. Give them a friendly pronunciation that you still love yourself as that human being that recognizes other people of color. And so, Mary, if these callers are still there, can you get them on the radio show with me?
Absolutely. I want to say welcome to your callers. I want to let other people know that they have 3 minutes to call in, and then the phone will be shut down. The telephone number is 347-857-3293. Again, that's 347-857-3293. We have two callers awaiting. 2900, would you like to have a word?
Yes, this is Josh from the Terracotta Nation, and I'd like to make these statements. I am not a man because of a piece of paper says I am. I am a man because I exist. I do not need a government to give me permission to exist. I am because I am. Our nation is and always will be. This is coming from elders of the Terracotta, and this is our decision as to become independent and free. And our nation has always existed, always stood. We don't need a recognition or pandering to any outside forces to exist as who we are. Not by anybody else's rules, but by our own. And so we give deep gratitude and thanks to the Lakota, the Free Lakota Nation, for standing and setting an example, creating its identification worldwide, and identifying its boundaries and its homeland. And we are doing the same here in the South.
Oh, man, that's a brilliant one. Next caller.
That's wonderful.
Hello, Chinupa. How's my brother doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay, brother. Man, go right ahead.
All right.
I want you to please.
Now, you caught on several different issues that...
Hello, could I say something?
You know me.
I want to thank you for coming.
That I really take to heart. Number one... But listening white audience out there need to understand that when this government signed the treaties with our people, the Congress said the treaties are the law of the land, and yet you don't follow them. Number two is when the European or white people came to this country, they introduced alcohol. And now my people suffer from alcoholism. Their families are divided. Their families are torn apart. The children are taken away. The women, grandparents are abused because of alcohol. Number three was this nation was supposed to have been brought together for freedom of religion, which we have been denied. All the churches of this nation to date have at one time or another abused my people. You can start right with the Catholic Church all the way down to the Methodists, Pentecostals, Baptists. All of them have at one time abused my people, and some still are. I believe it's time for our people to open their eyes and to gain their freedom back. That's freedom from alcoholism, freedom from drug abuse, freedom from the nation's abuses of non-payments, abuses of non-health care or inadequate health care. The government is responsible. The Congress told them they were, and they signed those treaties with our people. be responsible. That goes for not only the government, but also my people. Be responsible. Be a human being. Be yourself again. Be free of heart. Be free of mind. Regain your solidarity. Stand up, talk. If you have to, scream. But make the people hear you.
Wow, you know, both these callers that called in were very extraordinary to the plight that, you know, when indigenous people struggle to maintain their purposes in life, they determine that credibility to oversee what is happening in Indian country. And so, number one, we try so desperately in our midst continuously to look at all the hardships that are still taking place. And many of the tribal governments that are subsided by the hands of the federal government, they have obligations of responsibilities to fulfill these type of requests at the needs of their poor people, the people without, you know, homes and adequate health, you know, personalities and different type of responsibilities that give them ability to survive in this country in the said reservations. All my poor people, whether they're orphans or struck in poverty, they are the ones that are needed this commonwealth. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen on any said reservation. And this is the tool that, you know, people need to get back to, is reconnecting themselves with that identity crisis that has been wrongfully pronounced at the discretion of the American system. It's never going to go away. It's never going to stop until you enforce your independence. And this is what the Free Lakota Nation has done when they implemented and declared their independence way back in 1973 when we took up arms against the federal government in Wounded Knee, better known as Wounded Knee 2 in 1973, when a lot of our fellow brothers and sisters that occupied that hamlet with myself and many others, we were asserting our independence because of this unhealthy, discriminatory infraction at the hands of the federal government. Because these were all treaty obligations vested upon the international, you know, laws that were created for us by the Vienna Convention of 1961 and 1969. The Canadian government has recognized the indigenous people for their rights to, you know, utilize their own expertise and understandings. The nation of Bolivia, Venezuela, Ecuador, and Italy had gave us that type of pronunciation to exercise our independence in that capacity. And ladies and gentlemen, the past couple months down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Native brothers and sisters that occupied those meetings, you know, the conquest for independence, the Chiricahua Nation stood together and aligned themselves with the Lakota Nation to seek a better future for what remaining tribal members they still have by getting off the grid and start exercising their independence. No signed paper can allow you to be who you are. It takes the independence of freedom, of believing in that type of structure of life that was given to us at the hands of our matriarchal system that we once had. And during that pronunciation, our people were never limited to that type of infraction at the discretion of our women. And this is what we talk about constantly to determine this credibility. One has to ask themselves, if these laws that implement the real changes in the procedures and the pronunciations of language, then why is it that the English language continues to destroy our people within its own, you know, mindset of reality when we should be using our own indigenous language? We have a saying in the Lakota's point of view. And again, I'm not doing this to be disrespectful for a majority of my people. What I'm trying to give people benefit of a doubt is to recognize the fact that the laws that were given to us by Mother Nature, when one person understands the validity and the characteristics of how Mother Nature deemed its well-being, the well-being was said this, and this is how it went. And remember, I'm not reading anything to determine the understanding. They say, which is true. What I shared with everybody in the language of the indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere of the Dakotas, the language and laws that were given to us by the Great Mystery and Mother Earth and all the four-legged creatures and the winged ones, they gave us this capability to live without justification of wire diaphragms, boundary lines, and signs of paper. This is solely to grant an understanding between the change of nations, whether they were wampum belts, they were Teamsila braids, sacred ceremonial feathers, the identity of who they were, from what nation that they, you know, had their ability to recognize themselves with. This is the type of pronunciation that our people talk about through the future of what is coming in Indian country. And so a majority of our people do not see that type of characteristic as a pronunciation to safeguard these responsibilities that they still have. All you'll have to do is go out into the wilderness or the forest or the sacred land that you're from and look at nature in its beauty. And nature will teach you the whole concept of a real modern distinguished education. The University of the Universe is where I come from. When my grandfather Roy, my grandmother Cecilia, and my late mother Yvonne taught me these understandings, I never knew my father. My father only came around to do what he had to do to help his children get by because he worked for farmers. And that's how he brought, you know, financial, you know, monetary existence back to the family. And then he would leave again to make more. So we would have clothes and shoes, and he took care of his children that way. And lo and behold, the white ranchers got my father, and to this day, I never knew him. I have always told this to people. I am a person born without means of knowing how a father is supposed to guide his child. And so my grandmother, my mother, and my grandfather, and many other extended family, our aunts and uncles, gave us that type of existence to understand the whole concept between extended family neutering. And that's how indigenous people still do it today. If you look at the animal nations, they continue to hold that truth within their own. And I will never, ever rest assured that this history of our identity still shows this pronunciation into the 22nd doorway to our future where we're all headed. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we must keep in mind, shall we remain in full force and be effect with all this, you know, pronunciation, notwithstanding that this government's law shall be set forth to bond certain documents. Our independence gives us the jurisdiction to implement our identity within the United States. Remember, the district courts have recognized that, as they did when the Tosotsawe Band of Western Shoshone kicked out the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, out there in Western Shoshone country in the reservation or the Indian colony known as the Winnemucca Indian Colony. At the discretion of the Tosotsawe Band of Western Shoshones, this was a signed court order that was given to them, and they contacted the American Indian Movement, many other entities, along with Strongheart, and Strongheart was the only one to act in good faith to help them kick the BIA out of their internal affairs and regain their independence. And to this day, the newly established, you know, chiefs, headsman Thomas Wason, is operating his nation under his discretion and leadership at the means of the Tosotsawe Band of Western Shoshone. That is a powerful victory. And the Lakotas, for denouncing their citizenship in 2007, when the Lakota Nation, when the Freedom Delegation went to Washington, D.C. in 2007 on December 19th and denounced their citizenship, that they were breaking away from the treaties and this colonial concept of being, you know, administered at a falsified government known as the tribal government, better known as the IRA, or Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. These are proven entities, what many nations are seeking. And now our brothers and sisters in Canada, up there in the Mohawk country, and, you know, the Iroquois Confederacy are still implementing their strategic planning to continue to, you know, enforce their independence. And now the newly established Chiricahua Apache brothers and sisters from down in, you know, the country of south of ours, you know, they've done the same thing. And it was a great honor when the Lakota and the Chiricahua signed their Declaration of Independence together as brotherhoods and as nationhoods to recognize their independence. And that was done on July 26th and 27th. And here is how they did it. The arbitration that's been, you know, commercially, you know, through the golden rules of how America deprives people of their ability to exercise freedom, none of this stuff is limited. None of them is wavered. The only people that have a sovereign immunity within themselves is when people break the law. That extends to the actions that enforce, you know, falsified pretext through an unhealthy judgment. And as a reward, these result facts become controversial, and many of our people arising outside of these so-called resolutions and bonds, they are starting to recognize that their tribal governments are stripping them of their identity, their life way, and the things that taxpayers give them to be competitive in this system. Furthermore, expressly they waive their rights to have any type of freedoms that give them the characteristic to undermine their identity as free and independent nations within their own territorial boundaries. This is how the Lakotas, the Chiricahua, the Mohawk, the Western Shoshone, and many other nations up in Canada, our Cree brothers, our Mi'kmaqs, our Mohawk, all people are rebelling because they are tired of being underneath that oppressed, you know, yoke of slavery. That oppressed and oppressed of yoke of slavery shows you written evidence that without the consent of people to determine their credibility somehow to implement international law through the laws of nature, then there is no future for the remaining body of our said children. And this is where our people fall short of recognizing that type of existing, you know, infractions that regulate their well-being. So what does that tell us in future terms for where we're going? What does that tell us, the listening audience, what is happening in Indian country? I'll tell you. It tells you this, ladies and gentlemen. When people are paid to oversee the responsibilities at a government's disposal, okay, the sacred Black Hills where we're from here in the Dakotas, in the state of South Dakota, we have been implementing our territorial jurisdiction. We have been implementing our independence. One, it's like Crazy Horse once said. Crazy Horse once said that no one sells the earth upon which the people walk. That's a true custom. And a majority of our people have lost that understanding. In order for you to replace the consciousness of what is right there in that little brief, you know, implementation of context of law and the rights referred to in certain, you know, illustrations of history. When Crazy Horse told our people, no signed paper can determine the existence of my people, he was right. During when the treaties were signed, there were a majority of our people that were still up in Powder River country that never wanted to consent to that type of, you know, unhealthy incorporated mindset at the hand of the Eurocentric behavior of this Western lifestyle. A lot of our people stayed up in the hills until the death of Crazy Horse. And this is how our people scattered themselves because the sacred hoop had fallen apart. It was broken then. You look at some of the illustrations where Black Elk speaks. Black Elk saw this. And a lot of our people have never, ever came in tone to that. Today we bring the circle of life within our people. We bring white people to participate. We bring white people to do this, to do that, when, in fact, they're not supposed to. This is where we become our worst enemy within ourselves. Nobody speaks the language anymore here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Our language is on the verge of extinction. The indigenous population in the Western Hemisphere and in the continent known as Turtle Island, we are less than 1% of the population. Less than 1%. That means our identity is on the verge of extinction, let alone our language. So long comes the white man telling us that we have to implement certain educational forums to create curriculums that describe our language. Our language was never written, and to this godforsaken day, it never will be. Our language was written on pictograph, on stones in the caves. This is what showed our existence as First Nations people. We only use the English consonants and this wording to determine the credibility of law of how a lot of these educated Indians devour the pretext in life to go against their own. And I'm putting this message directly to you half-breeds. You get educated, and what do? You turn your people against one another. And you have control of the taxpaying dollars that these taxpayers don't know how it's being illegally spent on the reservations. This is how the waiver of the tribe's sovereign immunity affects that type of pronounced danger. It is extremely dangerous. And once again, these are all vague. They're like lines across a bulletin board. And when the tribal governments waive them sovereign immunities, that means that they are not protected by a tribal nation. They're not protected by the people itself. The people need to understand that they have to exercise their independence. When the late Russell Means was still upon this earth walking, and he sought to run for the Oglala Sioux tribe's presidency, 4 times he has won the primary election. And if all of our people stood in this corner like a majority of us have, because I know I campaigned for my late adopted uncle, even though our discrepancies fell short of that glory, I still believed in his fate of where he was going to try to resurrect his people to get back into the balance that you still have if you get off the need and the codependency of the government, alcohol and drugs and pharmaceuticals. You see, this is what I'm talking about today. If Russell Means was here, would you elect him like you did to Mr. Brian Brewer? Russell Means has created a lot of important issues that are still alive within Indian country. There's a big celebration every year in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called the Gathering of Nations. Mr. Means created that. Mr. Means led us into Wounded Knee in 1973. Mr. Means was also a noted spokesperson for the American Indian Movement. He was one of the original leaders that suspended the ex-leadership when they found them guilty of selling drugs and alcohol to their native communities. And so this is the type of pronunciation that Mr. Means had to his credit. He is the first one that led a radio station that still exists on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, better known as KILI 90.1. It was formally created and implemented by the membership of him and the American Indian Movement, and his brother, the late Dace Means, was one of the leading disc jockeys to be one of the first voices to exercise the unheard word. These are the things. And when the late Stokely Carmichael, better known as Kwame Ture, came to the reservation, him and Muhammad Ali, and Dr. Martin Luther King III, Jesse Jackson, many other African people came here to support indigenous belief of independence. Myself, Russell Means, and many others had the opportunity to convey and converse with these individuals, to continuously keep our support by interacting with people of color. Oh, but yet when a white man comes in, we give the white man a star quilt, we give him a name, we give him this, we give him that. But when our African brothers and sisters came to the reservation, we never acknowledged them. We only acknowledged them as brothers and sisters of the struggle. Well, to me, that's what's important. Brothers and sisters of the struggle, of the struggle is more important, more valued, because even Angela Davis came here, and Reverend, you know, Abernathy, an African brother that brought in a lot of our legal, you know, letters and support that came into Wounded Knee when we were, I was 13 years old when we took up arms against the federal government in our country, in our country. And this is what we talk about today in an open forum. I have never, ever, ever said I was a perfect person. When I got off the abuse of alcohol, I seen everything so clearly that my past was not a pretty sight. It led me to my current conviction of when the federal government launched their assault against our people. And remember, I have one of the officers under my belt because of what he did to me as a child by being involved with the American Indian Movement and my traditional people. This is the type of laws we talk about. Everybody's after the fact in the American Indian Movement. When Russell Means was alive, none of the other leadership of AIM came to Wounded Knee. None of them. And now that he's dead and gone, they come in. Then you have AIM members, so-called babies of AIM, supporting a half-breed guy when you couldn't even support the late Russell Means. Imagine Russell Means taking leadership and becoming a tribal chairman for our reservation. You think this chaotic despair is still going to go on? I don't think so, because he never, ever got that chance to fix something within his tribal form of government. That's an insulting remark to all you people that say you believe in freedom, independence, and you believe in yourself as Indian people. That's a big lie. Because when he walked this earth, where were you? When he needed your support, where were you? And once again now, Swarupa Gruhamani is leading this campaign for independence. Where's your support? Where is your involvement? Instead, you give credence to the American system. Americans don't like us. Americans lie. Listen, gentlemen, this is what I'm talking about. The listening audience need to see where the problem lies. The scriptures that are written in these so-called sacred books that belong to them, they lie. They perpetuate every infraction. And their dishonest virtue of life is bestowed upon each and every one of us that continue to give adherence to the American system. And that goes for every color of man that believes in the great American empire. I've said this many times on many shows. I am not saying this to be disrespectful. I am saying this to give you the characteristic ability to understand that you need to exercise your validity of independence. On August 13, the Strongheart Warrior Society is going to be meeting with the Park Services in Rapid City, South Dakota, because we got treaty boundaries, we got treaty parks, we got treaty things over there, and indigenous people cannot utilize those park areas to fish, to camp, to have picnic gatherings. They can't allow their kids to go out and explore what rightfully theirs, the land. These children have a right to connect themselves back in their supernatural power. They have that right. But America deprives these children, not only these kids, but grandmas and grandpas. People can't pick up, you know, herbal remedies and use the willows to create sacred lodges and teepee poles to create their functions within their reservation boundaries. Always the white men putting up regulations to stop us, to have us arrested, to have us incarcerated. Where is the tribal government stepping up and fighting these people head on? Where are they? Where are these tribal chairmen implementing that change in that personality of procedures? At the discretion of that government that perpetuates its authority to denounce your own existence. Where are they? They don't exist because they're too busy protecting the American system. I have seen this over and over. Now I'm at the age of 54. I'll be 55 here next month. It saddens me that my people have constantly been trying to rid themselves and get back into the basics of humanity. The basics of humanity, and that's your independence. If you believe in freedom, you have independence. And that's how you exercise sovereignty. You get it? It's a four-stroke rhythm. Belief, freedom, independence, and sovereignty. When you have those four implementations in your heart, like the natural laws that are outside, if you go outside and look at our animal nation, they're the only ones still upholding their independence. They run from the fear of the two-legged people that hearts are black. That's sad and true. But yet we cannot take care of our own circle of life. And that's within each and every one of you that is a person of color. Even you, white man, you have a sacred circle within yourself. You need to find healing for that. You need to find the love that you want destroyed. You need to find all these connections of that gratitude within yourself. And quit, you know, being intrusive by coming into our circles and wondering what we're doing in there. This is our time to get back in balance our spiritual identity, because you took it from us to replace it with Jonathan, Henry, Cheryl, Barbara, Louie, Jimmy, James, Dwayne, all these names. When we have our own identity, it's called Chanupa Gluhamani. It's called Tasunka with gold. It's called Hatanka Iotaka. It's called Nakpa Nicha. Those are our real and original identity, our names of our traditional kinship to this life that was given to us at the discretion of the four-legged and Mother Earth. today's show is going directly to that. And again, the Strong Heart Warrior Society has been given the opportunity to share these implementations to you. We have a new radio show that will be commencing tomorrow night at 9 o'clock in the Dakotas and throughout Mountain Time. We have this new show, the Strong Heart Warrior Society's show on Indigenous Affairs, will commence tomorrow at 9 o'clock Mountain Time, and my sister Mary Neal will give you some more information. Mary, are you still there with me? Hello? Well, Mary may be taking a break. And so for a majority of the people that are still with me, I want you all to keep in mind that it ain't easy doing this work to show the discretion of how our pain and suffering continues to affect us. It affects us so rapidly that it's very crucial to try to piece things together for the well-being of who we are in our own existence. But I am confident, I am a strong, firm believer that our independence is going to carry us into the 22nd century where we're all going to our destiny. And that's the choice that we want as a free and independent nation. Thanks to the Chiricahua. Thanks to our brothers and sisters in the Mohawk country. Thanks to our brothers down in Ohio. Thanks to many other nations that are struggling to get out of dormancy. Thanks to all of you seeking this pathway to independence. This is your destiny, and that future is your freedom that you still believe in. Thank you for listening to the Lakota people and the Strong Heart Warrior Society by taking this course of action, by enforcing our identity. Every nation has something to offer. And the Lakota have done just that. And now our Chiricahua brothers are taking a stand with us to exercise their independence. And this is what we talk about. And most of all, we have to get back to our traditional language, virtue. Without the virtue of our language, listening audience, there is no future. I will say this in an open pretext. The tribal governments killing his shot, Akshichi, Chumpi, and Opak Papi, Chaka Oyate, and Wakanda, Gilena Yotiak, and his son woke, Yanke. Chamila Huska Isaki, Nazik, and Oichak, the hunter, Hokatika, Iana, Hawaii, Washichi, Hawo, Peki, and Hetchens, Epitala, Umponaha, Oichak, Lena, let's say Yotiak, was his name, Daki, Helm Chalem, Peppi, Homan. Daku epheki ietchetu. Na koha lena lechus e iwagalakaf. If you vote for me, I will help the children. If you vote for me, I'll help the elders. If you vote for me, I will help the younger generation seek a better education. These are your promises that you never fulfilled and lived up to. Once I gonna mazaska lena you want only that to represent these people. And when you get in, my people go without. You, America, are responsible for that, and you're half-breeds. And our independence and sovereignty is all we have left, and God damn it, we are going to fight you with that. All we're asking from you, white people, is to leave us alone. We are not bothering you. We don't bother your laws. We stay away from them. And you're constantly in denial by implementing that to destroy our people in your colonial prison camp. Two-thirds of my people are incarcerated. Two-thirds of my people are so, you know, rapidly in tone to alcohol and drugs that there is no way out for them. And the time they recognize that this is a problem of an epidemic, it's too late. They're on their verge of returning, you know, they're on their verge of returning back to Mother Earth. You, America, are responsible for that. Remember, Thomas Jefferson wrote to many nations that were under the states, you know, Union. Many nations of the State of Union, they forbid you white people to sell alcohol to native people and people of color. That executive order still intact in the books. Come on, listening audience, help me look for that. And let's campaign with that, with our independence, to hold this system accountable. If a president of this country that's falsifying its occupancy within our own territories written that, and you people so gladly raised the American flag in honor of that piece of shit, you know, material, God damn it, then you live up to your illustrations of what your people have, your great white fathers write and pass into legislation. If you live up to them things, we will quit bitching and bickering at you. But you are the problem because you don't want to own up to your responsibility, America. You are to blame. We can't blame each other anymore. You got us divided. Our people don't know how to stand together anymore. You created that. So the only way to get out of that mindset of the eurocentric behavior of that bipolar disoriented man is to seek our freedom through our belief system in our independence and sovereignty. Those are the only way, man, our discretion and our survival of life is going to exist. And if we continue to exist in the 22nd century, it's because of what we have set out to do on this path to our future. And that's how the great mystery paved this opportunity. We have never done nothing wrong to our great mystery. We never killed our spiritual leader and hung him up on a piece of board to dry out. We have never done that, America. We have never done that to our people. And this is where the game of lies become so prevalent that you cannot accept that truth. And that's how I make a long story short. For a majority of my people that took the opportunity to listen to what was being conducted today, the Strongheart Warrior Society once again is going to commence its own radio show Thursday night, 9 o'clock Mountain Time, and you're all welcome to come in. Now, Mary gave you the illustrations of, you know, the call-in numbers and so forth to take part and answer for questions and so forth, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to have 3 minutes upon everything we talk about within the Western Hemisphere and outside our territorial boundaries. I am tired of, you know, living in my automobile. I am tired of living in, you know, the tents of, you know, not having running water. I have to find rivers and creeks that I can take showers and baths in, man. You know, this luxury that you Americans have, you won't allow us to create. Remember, you still owe us. From 1492, when you start destroying our people and taking all our gold and all our sacred minerals and replacing them with this lifestyle, you took our food away from us. Our people are dying of chronic diabetes and heart trouble and cancer. You, America, are to blame. The food that we eat from your grocery stores, man, they create these diabetes, not only to the indigenous people, but they create these health hazards to the African people, the Asian people, and a lot of my people, you know, in the white race, and so is my southern brothers and sisters from Little Sisters Land in Mexico. This is what's happening here. And now my animals are getting, getting contaminated by what they eat through garbages and trash because there's no fresh vegetation where they can roam upon Mother Earth to find that healthy nutrition that they once had. You, America, are responsible for that. Instead, you will put regulations. You want to have chronic wasting diseases where people are killing animals just for the sake of that population to try to control them. Control yourself, America. If you can control yourself, then the validity will exist for the future where we're going. I am tired of all this. Everybody else gets to stay in the hamlet within a reservation and be codependent on the system. The presidents of the tribal organization, pay these people that support them and their followers, but they don't pay somebody like me. Because I'm standing up to that corruption. I'm tired of burying my grandmas. I'm tired of burying my grandfathers. I'm tired of burying my children. And most of all, I'm tired of burying my brothers and sisters. I'm tired of having burials of my people. And you people are the ones that are responsible for that. And you not only do that to the indigenous people, but you do it to the African race. You do it to the Asian race. And my brothers and sisters of the South and up in Canada, you do that to them too. Look at your own backyard. You have not fixed anything in the Western Hemisphere. The frustration is I constantly have to raise that eyebrow of deceit to tell the American system, leave us alone. We are doing everything in your capacity, and still that's not enough. You've took my land. You've took my food. You took my resources. You've took my people. Now what else do you want from me, America? What do you want from me? Man, it hurts. It hurts, man. Do you know what pain is, America? Do you? Do you really know what suffering is? Do you really know what hunger is? You think about it. We indigenous people fed you when you arrived here. And remember, you're all ex-cons. We're not the ones that enslaved you through captivity and isolation. Through this prison system. We're not the ones who did that. Your own people did that to you. And this is what you did to us. Ladies and gentlemen, I really, really am angered at how this system constantly neglects our well-being. When you look at the IHS, the Indian hospitals, our people dying at an alarming rate through unhealthy health care. Unhealthy health care. Where is it? Where is it? A white man can go in the hospital and walk out with a smiley face. People of color go in there, they die. They come out in boxes. That's sad, but that's how Western lifestyle is. That's why independence is so critical and crucial for the remaining nations that are striving to get out of dormancy. We all need that. You all have the capability to have some type of monetary existence in your midst. The we indigenous people, the poor ones, the ones that are homeless, myself included, we are the ones that are facing that unhealthy existence at the hand of the American system. And as I continue on to bring this to the final resting place of where we're going with this, one has to ask themselves, what does it take to change the essence of a man that does nothing but hate one another? Again, what does it take to change the essence of a man that hates one another? You see, that's what I know where the answer is. That's what I do. I know that. But ask the Americans what that means. They won't give you a truthful answer. They'll give you story after story. And remember, the truth you give the American people, they're not honest. They will condemn you. They will, man, belittle you. And they will destroy your identity. That's their characteristic. They don't want messages like this to go out to the international community. All these countries that they invaded outside my waters, they turned them all into Indian reservations. Folks, that's what they did. Every time they invade a country, that's all they do. Is turn it into an Indian reservation where they rape women and children and murder poor people. The existing fact is that matter. And so this is what we talk about on today's show. We constantly try to wake the majority of our people up to get back at basics. Now we have a song that was given to us from the Great Mystery. And that song goes, Toka Shilai. We chose Jane Maya Kuelo Hey Chewa Ki Eloi Pila Maya Yelo Hey Daku Ya He Ki Hey Waka Yeloi Chewa Ki Eloi Pila Maya Yelo Hey. There's truth to that song. The identity of that song gives us that ability to show our freedom is still alive. Our existence is still alive. And this is what we constantly try to preserve. Custom, tradition, culture, and language through our songs. And this is all we ask, is to be free and left alone, to do what we need to do, to go to the places that are still ours by treaty and international law. These are the provisions that were vested for our well-being at the discretion of Mother Earth and the Great Mystery and all the four directions of the animal nations. They gave us this paradise to live in harmony with them. And to this godforsaken day, you have taken that from us. There was a treaty that was made between the four-legged and the two-legged. And the indigenous people still hold that story truthfully. And that story read, one day the great mystery was walking upon his sister. And upon his sister, he walked into the trees. He stepped on a pine needle, and it stuck his big toe. And the great mystery pulled that pine needle out, and he threw it outside the teepee, and it hit the flap. It hit the flap, and it slid down, and all of a sudden, to his amazement, a life was formed outside. And there was this little baby laying outside of the teepee. So the great mystery cried, and he caressed that little baby. He brought him into the teepee, and he cried with humility. He was honored. He wasn't alone with just the four-legged brothers and sisters and the winged creatures. And so the great mystery raised that baby, and he became a man. And all the animal nations used to come out and play with this young little boy who became, you know, the man he is. And so when these animals played with him, they start being, you know, really intensified to their roughness, the way animals do it. And it wasn't their fault. It was showing a fairness and balance between the two-legged and the four-legged and the winged creatures. And so one day, they tried to see if the young boy could hold his breath underwater, and they brought all their best warriors out, that new water of life. They brought out the otter, they brought out the beaver, they brought out the raccoon, they brought out the otter, and they brought out the turtle. And they took this brother underground of the water. They took him way down below to try to see if he can hold the breath like they can. And each time he grasped for air, he'd come back up. So the great mystery saw that. And he said, okay, young man, it's time for you to play with these sacred objects I'm going to give you. And he gave him two pieces of stone. And when the young boy was playing with them, the animal nation came at him again. They brought out their best warriors with talons and fangs and claws to get him. They brought out the buffalo. They brought out the eagle. They brought out the cat, the bear, the wolf, the coyote. They brought out all these guys that knew how to fight and, you know, take life for themselves when it was time for survival. And they played a trick on this young man. The eagles, the hawks, the falcons, the owls, all these people that had sharp talons, these warriors were ready to get him. And when they did play this unhealthy game with him, the great mystery told the young boy to take those two stones and throw them as high as he could up in the air. And man, he threw them as high as he could, and they came down with a loud boom. Boom, they hit the earth. And it shook, and all of a sudden the rivers start breaking, the mountains start forming, and rocks and trees and everything start dividing them. All of a sudden the animal nations were shocked. They said, hey, what's the matter? Why am I being separated from the elk? Why am I being separated from the mountain lion? The buffalo were wondering, hey, what's going on here? And so the great mystery said again, son, throw them up. They kept coming at him. And finally, man, he threw these two stones up again, and they clacked. And they hit the earth again, and they created this big, massive fire. And man, all the animal nations were running, man, out of exhilarity of fear. And to this day, the animals, man, are scared of fire. You see, these are the teachings of our people that we share with one another. That's our people sell it. They don't share it for a future generation to have a custodial ability to recognize with the creations of life. No, they sell it right away. And so here we come again. We're facing that same type of annihilation. And finally, when all these animal nations were scared of this fire, they had nowhere to grow, they came to the mountain, which was Bear Butte, and they all hovered up there. And so the great mystery told the young boy, here, here's my medicine pouch, and gave him a whole palm full of water, and he said, throw it up in the air. And he threw it up again, and here all these rain clouds came, and they smothered the fire down, and they put it out. The next morning, the great mystery and the young boy, man, as he became a man, they went back into the teepee to sleep. And to their amazement, all the animal nations were surrounded around his teepee. They walked out there with pride and wonder, wondering that love had returned. And that love began within the two-legged and the four-legged. And all the four-legged animals and the ring creatures vowed themselves to live in paradise with the two-legged, known as the Red People. That was the very first treaty ever implemented by the animal nation, the two-legged, of the Red Nations. And to this day, that treaty has never been fucking broken. That's real independence. That's real freedom. That's the belief our people once had. And you Americans keep taking it from us. And to further prolong this understanding in reality, this story exists only in the eyes of our people, because the whole reality of all the things that are happening today, there's some friendly bikers that waved at me. Wow, that's beautiful. As I'm sharing this story, it goes to show you that all the animal remnants that sacrificed themselves for us to eat, survive, and exist in this country, we still live by that through our regalias, our sacred ornaments that we create. And now the white man is stealing that to gain profit for his own greed. This is stories that are still documented and still truthful within the hearts of red nations that have creation stories where they come from. And this is how the Buffalo people brought us here to exist within our own. Ladies and gentlemen, as my heart sinks to that validity of reality, I am honored again to have an opportunity to have an independent show in the name of the Strong Heart Warrior Society. This is the Warrior Society that continues to expose its gratitude to everybody. And once and for all, our women can get back in balance if they put the dress on. And our men can get back in balance if they start being obedient to the women who are purified naturally. Get off the alcohol and drugs, pharmaceuticals, and the contamination of how the American system does you. And all nations can do the same. All you nations come from some kind of spiritual animal, and you all know that. Reconnect yourselves with that spiritual being, and you'll become free. And when you do, the belief system in that independence will create that sovereignty of your opportunity to the 22nd century where we're all going. This is how we share our understandings and our oaths of reality, because anymore, in the year 2014, our people play Indian. We dance to the sound of money. We dance to the sound of unhealthy predicaments of sacrifices. And to this God-forsaken day, we have not learned a thing of reconnecting our sacred selves with one another. Sad but true. And if all you listening audience have a four-legged creature in your home, if you have a dog, love him. Remember, that animal loves you. When you are under some type of unhealthy predicament that the system gave you, that young man, that four-legged creature, whether it's a cat or a dog, will greet you with happiness when you come home. He will take all that unhealthy issue away from you for that discretion, so you can get back in balance with that love and that identity that you once had. My big dog here does that to me when I'm angry. And I know how he is smart enough to outdo the two-legged, because he's still here sharing his existence with us. And many of you have. And with that, all of you, take this into your heart, all of you, in today's show. The Strong Heart Warrior Society was given a responsibility to combat the illegal flow of alcohol and drugs. And because this newly elected tribal chairman came in, he wanted to try to stop us and give every credence to everybody else. They never were there for us. They never were. They still can't even solve the murders of brothers that were found dead in White Clay. This is what's happening. The latest death in White Clay was a young man named Chris Chief Eagle. Before that was a brother by the name of Michael Waters. He was found dead up there. And then we cannot forget the two brothers that led this whole campaign, Ronald Hardheart and Wally Blackout. You see, these are the things. And remember, it was guys like the late Russell Means that went to jail for something we believed in by fighting the illegal flow of alcohol and drugs coming into our reservation. Me and that man stood toe-to-toe against our own tribal police and the state troopers in that little town called White Clay. How many other people have legacies and stories where they went to jail for things that they really believed in to save their people, to save their people? And Lehman Brightman, up here in our sacred Black Hills with Mini Two Shoes, we got it on with the park services. They herded us into this chicken wire coop fence corral, and it handcuffed us young kids from putting up a little roadblock from preventing them from going up there and getting Lehman and Minnie and all the other relatives that were up there. They deliberately drug them off by their hair, folks. These are the histories that are still marked in my heart for how abusive the system is. And how many deaths have they went, you know, on hell for? I mean, look at all these deaths of homeless people. Has anybody investigated who killed that young grandma and that young baby in Denver, Colorado? Has anybody in the Latino communities looked at that? Has anybody been brought to justice for the death of that grandmother and her grandson? How about that young homeless man that was shot in Albuquerque, New Mexico? How about that Indian brother that was shot up here in Rapid City? How about that white homeless man? How about all these things? How about that African brother that was drugged down in Texas? How about that African brother that was shot and killed in Kansas City, Missouri? I mean, think about it, man. How about that Asian boy that was beaten to death outside that bar in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul? An Asian brother. And how about all the other animal nations that are being killed at the discretion of passerbys and automobiles running over young fawns and does? I mean, think about it, America. God damn, man. When enough of disruption are you going to accept this responsibility? When are you going to do that, America? My God, man, this is inhuman, man, what you guys are doing. Where are our people going to go from here on out? What kind of future and destination do we really have? Where's my grandchildren going to go? Are my grandchildren going to live inside of a van like I do and travel different places to just to, you know, get a place where they can clean themselves like I do? Many others, you know, you talk about that. You have friends. You can't trust your friends anymore without giving them something. They want something in return. And when these are the same friends that you help feed and clothe and get them propane and shit, that's what the Strong Heart Warrior Society does. We feed people. We bring stuff to them. And not one can lift up a finger to help this guy. I can't even get a trailer home to this reservation that was given to me from a young man by the name of Grant Graves. You all pay taxes and stuff, and you all got money. How come you can't donate it for the right thing to get a trailer home? How come we can't have that? How come I can't have it? Let alone you give it to everybody else that don't believe in standing up to the system. You give it to all these ones that don't pose a real threat to you. That's the problem, America. People like myself and many other nations that stand up to that corrupt mindset, that your eccentric behavior, we're the ones labeled as the bad guy. When in fact you're the bad guy, and you have done nothing to fix what you have created. Sad but true. My phone number is 605-517-1547. If somebody listens to this, and maybe you will, and maybe you won't, I don't care. But at least it's that thought that I give you. I constantly try to share with other white folks how hard it is living on this reservation.